So, brothers and sisters, as it was announced earlier, we have a visiting speaker, Brother Kikim Ben Khalifa from France. And his talk again is Facing the Future with Faith and Courage. Brother Ben Khalifa, you have our attention, please.
Have you ever heard of Florence Chadwick? Florence Chadwick used to be an amazing swimmer. She was from the US. And the experience I would like to share with you today happened in 1952. She attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the Californian coastline. And that was very challenging. And we're going to see why. First of all, the distance. She had to swim 42 kilometers. What other difficulty she had to overcome? The water was very cold, and that was not easy for her. And she had to swim against undercurrent. Yes. Her mother and her coach, they were in a small boat beside her to encourage her, but also to chase sharks. That was another problem. Another major problem was the fog. It was very foggy, and she could hardly see what she was doing. And after 15 and 55 minutes, she gave up, she quit. She said, I can't go any farther. And her coach said to her, you have to keep going, you are almost there. She said, no, I can't. So they took her out of water. And after she had the opportunity to speak to reporters, and she explained, she said, I don't want to find excuse, but the problem today was the fog. I didn't know what I was doing. I was swimming without seeing where I was going, and I lost my strength because I couldn't see where I was going. But she made a promise. She said, I will come back and I will try again. And this is what she did 3 months later. She came back, but the second time she succeeded. And she explained why. She said, this time I was swimming with the mental image of the line, the coastline in my mind. So I was not focused on what it was outside, but I was focused on what it was inside in my mind. And that gave me the strength to overcome the distance, to overcome the water, cold, the current, sharks, the fog. And this experience is very interesting because there is a lot of similarities between her and between our Christian life. And we're going to see why. So we are now in this system of things, and our goal is to be in the new system of things. So we have to move from one place to another place, except for us, it's not a question of distance. It's more related with time. We are here today, and we hope in the near future we will be in the new system. This is the first similarity. Another similarity, this system of things is so cold. It lacks love, and it's not easy for us to live in the system of things because it's lacking so much love. Another difficulty, we have to fight against currents, philosophies, way of thinking, the immorality. This is another problem we have to face. The Bible doesn't speak about sharks, but the Bible speaks about lion, which is not much better. But we have to understand that. And also, Satan has brought up on the system of things a spiritual darkness. And we see that around us. People doesn't know anything about Jehovah, about the kingdom. That reminds us what it's written in the book of Jonah when Jehovah sent Jonah to preach in the city of Nineveh. He say, you have to go because they don't know the difference between their right and their left. It is very similar. So we are in this kind of system of things, and we have to fight against all these things. But the most important thing is what we have in our heart, what we have in our mind. We have the strong conviction that Jehovah is going to fulfill all his wonderful promises, and it is exactly the same for this, the Florence Chadwick. She had in mind the vision of the coast, the coastline, and it's the same for us. We have in mind the vision of the new system, of the paradise, and this is helping us day after day to deal with all these difficulties. As Jehovah's Witnesses, we are positive, we are optimistic. When we see things, we have a different viewpoint of people around us. And why that? Because our optimism is based on the Bible. We have a lot of information in the Bible, and that helps us to deal with all these difficulties with another viewpoint. So in this talk this afternoon, we're going to speak about two key points. So the first point, how our faith affects our viewpoint. This is the first key point. And the second point is how our faith helps us to deal with difficulties, to overcome difficulties. So the first key point, we're going to see the link between our faith and our viewpoint on things. Christian faith is real. Christian faith is not blind. Our faith is not credulity. Christian faith is based on solid evidence. And we're going to consider together the first scripture from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11, verse 1. And for this afternoon, I'm going to have a helper. It's Brother Maguire, and we're going to ask him to read for us this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Please, Nathan.
Faith is the assured expectation of what is hoped for, the evident demonstration of realities that are not seen.
Thank you. So we can cut this scripture into different pieces. So the first idea that Paul gives, assured expectation. To understand that, we can take an example. Imagine if I ask Brother Maguire to buy me a guitar in Canada. You know, in Canada, they make wonderful guitars. Imagine I ask Nathan, he say, oh, I found this good guitar. I say, to Nathan, please, can you buy it for me? And this is what you're going to do, you buy it. But you have to tell me the price and I have to pay Nathan. So what I can do, I can write a check with the amount, and I have to sign this check and I give him the check. And when he will have the check on his hand, he's going to say, this is the proof that I'm going to be paid. I can do something different. I can go to my bank and I say, I would like to transfer some money to Nathan. And I show him the paper and say, okay, now I have the proof. And when Jehovah says, I give you the guarantee that I will fulfill my promises, it is like if we have this document in our hands and we are sure, we have no doubt. So we can move from this place, from this system of things to the new system of things. It's like the government, you know, here in France, in Canada, it's the same. We have passport. If we want to move from country to country, we have to have that. We need to have this this document. So we have it. And if I want, I can come and visit you there. You can come and visit us here because we have this document. And when we said assured expectation, it is like this, you know. It's like if we have this official document, but not from a government, but we have it from Jehovah. So we have the guarantee. So the second part of the verse is, realities that are not seen. This is weird because earlier we said faith is not blind, and now Paul is saying realities that are not seen. So how can we understand? We can take an example. Imagine if I ask you about the color of my shirt. If we were together under the same roof, you will say white, and I could hear you, but I know this shirt I have today is white. But can you prove that to me? It is impossible to prove to a blind person that the shirt is white or blue or something else. It is impossible. Technically, it's impossible. So why I am so sure that this shirt is white? Why? Because when I asked my wife for a white shirt, she gave it to me. And she said to me, the shirt is white. And I trust my wife. Yes. If it's my friend, I'm going to trust my friend. If it's my daughter, my son, no problem. But why I trust these persons? Why? Because I know them and they have no reason to say something different. And this is why I am so sure, despite the fact that I can see that the shirt is white. And it's exactly the same for our faith. We all believe in Jehovah. We believe in his promises, and we have no doubt about that. But someone would say, but we don't see Jehovah. It is impossible for us to see him. Yes, okay. We don't have the sight for that. It is exactly like me. I don't have the sight to see that this color is white. But we can do something different, and we all did that. We spend a lot of time studying the Bible. We spend a lot of time studying prophecies, the historical part of the Bible, the archaeology. And by doing this deep and accurate study, despite the fact we don't have the possibility to see Jehovah and to see, you know, Abba, we are sure and we have no doubt. So it is the same. It is the same. It's an example interesting because many people today say, "Ah, I don't have your faith," you know. But it is not a question of having faith or not having. It is a question of to dig deeply in the Bible and to see what is written in this book and to have this conviction, this conclusion that Jehovah is there. So, is it so evident for each of us that there is above us a spiritual world, like with Jehovah, Jesus, the angels, and we have no doubt about that? And this is the second aspect of our faith. And it is very important for us to cultivate such a faith. The Bible contains so many prophecies, so many promises about the future. And we're going to consider some of them and see how these promises, these prophecies affect our life. So the first one, we can read, if you want, Psalm 46, verse 9. The book of Psalm 46, verse 9. Please, Nathan.
He is bringing an end to wars throughout the earth.
This is a wonderful promise, especially today, when we consider what is happening in Ukraine. A few days ago, this country was normal, and now they are facing a terrible war, and we are very worried about our brothers and sisters in this country. This is terrible. We were thinking of other wars, you know, in a different part of the world, but now it's there, and that caused a lot of anxieties, you know. We heard on the news the president of Russia saying, "Nothing is going to stop me. I have to do that." And I just would like to remind you, I have a nuclear weapon, and nothing is going to stop me. And you know what they said here in France, the French government, they said, "We would like to remind you, we have the nuclear weapon." So that caused a lot of anxieties. People said, "What is going to happen with that?" You know. So we believe in Jehovah. We have faith in Jehovah. And when Jehovah says something about words, it will happen for sure. And we have no doubt about that. Another prophecy taken from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 33 and verse 24, please. So Isaiah 33:24.
And no resident will say, "I am sick."
Yes, this is another wonderful promise. So now since almost 2 years, we are We have to deal with this pandemic. This pandemic changed so many things in this system of things in our daily life. But the promise of Jehovah is going to bring an end to this terrible problem. But we speak about this pandemic, but the other sickness, the other problem didn't stop. They're still there. Heart problem, cancer. And we have to deal with that. And sometimes we are discouraged. But when we consider this verse, we know when Jehovah says something is going to happen for sure, because Jehovah has one word. When he said, I'm going to bring all this sickness to end, you have to believe me. And we believe him. Another prophecy, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4.
A generation is going and a generation is coming, but the earth remains forever.
You know, they are making so much effort today to try to change the situation because they are so aware about the problem with the earth, with the global warming, for example. We have in mind what you had to face this last summer in Canada, the heat, you know, the heat wave on the west part of Canada. That was terrible. We heard that on the news. This is not possible. 50 degrees. Okay, this is not normal. And after the fires, you know, that is the consequences of that. So that happened in Canada, but here in Europe, it was the same. And all the world is in the same situation. The earth is polluted. The ocean is polluted. The air is polluted. So we have to do something. And it seems like if they don't know, because they are aware that they have to do something, but nobody wants to make any effort. But Jehovah said, my word is the earth is not going to move. I will remain the earth. And we trust Jehovah. And we know when he says something, Jehovah has one word, and we have and we trust Jehovah. So all these promises helps us to deal with that. And all these promises have a big impact in our viewpoint, because we live in the system of things, but we have another way of thinking, because when we consider that, we know our God, Jehovah, is going to help us with all these difficulties. So the second aspect of this talk, so how our faith helps us to overcome difficulties, personal difficulties. So many brothers today have lost their job, and it is not easy for them to help the family with the daily needs, you know, house, food, clothes. It's terrible. That causes a lot of worries, of anxieties. Another difficulty is becoming harder and harder to build in our children a strong faith. There is so many distractions around us at school, with social media. So it's becoming a big struggle for parents to teach the truth to their children. And this is another cause of anxieties. Many of us are alone. Many brothers and sisters have to be alone. And it is not a personal choice. They are alone because they want to be loyal to Jehovah. They want to be faithful to Jehovah. And if they would like maybe one day to be married, they want to be married in the congregation. And this is another cause of anxieties, and we understand that. We spoke about health, but imagine if I go see my doctor, you know, I go see my doctor, I didn't see him from long time, and I say I would like, and the doctor say, okay, it's a good time for a checkup. I'm going to give you a blood test and this. And I come back the next week with the result, and I see the face of my doctor, not very good. And he say, what I have to tell you, it's not so easy, you know, you have this and that and this. And this day, our life take an unexpected turn, and that could happen to each of us anytime. And that causes a lot of anxieties. And Satan uses all these things he has one goal, to destroy our faith. He has one objective, to break our relationship with Jehovah. And Jesus knew that. And this is why he gave a very interesting counsel that we can find in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34 and to 36.
21, 34 to 36.
Yes.
But pay attention to yourselves that your hearts never become weighed down with overeating and heavy drinking and the anxiety of life, and suddenly that day be instantly upon you as a snare. For it will come upon all those dwelling on the face of the whole earth. Keep awake then, all the time making supplication, that you may succeed in escaping all these things that must occur and in standing before the Son of Man.
Thank you very much, Nathan. So Jesus says, said clearly, so we have to take good care of our hearts, and we have to keep our heart complete to Jehovah, for Jehovah. And when we have to deal with difficulties, we want to keep it complete for Jehovah, 100%. We're not going to say, okay, maybe 70% Jehovah and 30% me. I'm going to see how I'm going to. No, Jesus said all these difficulties, you know, could cause so many, could have a bad consequences on our faith and our spiritual life. So we want to follow Jesus' advice and keep our heart complete for Jehovah. Another painful difficulty is when we lose someone we love. This is terrible trial, terrible difficulty, and not easy to deal with. And I am sure you have in mind from the convention we had 2 years ago about the joy, rejoice Jehovah. There was a symposium about how is it possible to keep joy despite trials. And there were a part about when we lose someone we love. And there was a video about a brother in Venezuela. He lost his son in a shooting that was so sad. And he was still very sad. That happened a few years ago. But I'm sure you remember when when we had the video, he showed us his son's bedroom, and he said, I didn't touch everything, everything's still there. And that was so sad. That brought tears to our eyes when we saw that. But the brother said, there is four things help me to overcome that. And he said, prayers. So he poured his heart to Jehovah to pray for his help. And Jehovah helped him with Holy Spirit. And he said, I feel the help of the Holy Spirit. And he said also the congregation, the support from the congregation. Sometimes when we have someone like a brother, we say, oh, I'm not going to sing because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say, you know. But sometimes we don't have to say anything. We just have to be sitting beside our brother. We just have to be there. If we don't know what to say, if we don't know what to do, just the fact that we are with them, it is so helpful. And this is why what the brother is saying is support from the congregation. And the last point that helped him is the hope of the resurrection. The hope of the resurrection. So there is a very interesting scripture that we're going to read together. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:13. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 13.
Moreover, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who are sleeping in death, so that you may not sorrow as the rest do who have no hope.
Yes, the difference between us and the people around us, we have this wonderful hope. And it's so helpful. It's like if we are in a tunnel, but we know at the end of the tunnel there is a light, and we are focusing on this light, on the hope of the resurrection. So now we have all these things, but we don't to keep them for us. We want to share this this wonderful hope we have, this faith. And I would like to share with you an experience taken from the Watchtower, the June 1980 Watchtower. So there was an article on the title, "Look Straight Ahead as a Christians." And on this article, there was a very interesting experience which took place in Arctic. So there is a group of hunters. They went hunting seals. And unfortunately, this day, the weather was so bad and there was a terrible snowstorm and they got lost. They didn't know where to go. So they tried to find their ways, but it was impossible. And they said, "Today is our last day. We're going to die today." So they laid down and they accepted the idea of dying. And one of them remember his fiancé. He has a fiancé, and he had in his mind the picture of his fiancé. And we imagine he had the face of his fiancé, her eyes, her mouth, her hair. And he said, "No, I'm not going to give up." And he stood up and he helped all his friends. He said, "No, we are not going to give up." And because this man has had in his mind this picture of his fiancé, none of them, they all survived. So, you know, the vision of his fiancé gave him the energy to overcome all these problems. And it's the same for us, you know. We have in our mind, in our hearts, the vision of the new system of thinking, and that gives us the strength, the energy to keep going. And we want to help, for example, in our families, if one member is a little bit discouraged, now we're going to be with him. I am with you. And if in our congregation someone is discouraged, no, come. We have this energy. And it's the same for our territories, you know, here in Paris and you in Canada. When we consider the situation of the people around us, we really want to share with them the hope of the new system. And we have the energy for that. We're just now going to consider a last scripture taken from the book of Psalm 145 and verse 11 and 12. So Psalm 145, sorry, Nathan, 11 and 12.
"They will proclaim the glory of your kingship and speak about your mightiness, to make known to men your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingship."
Thank you. And we have the privilege to have part in this prophecy. How that? By preaching this wonderful message, by sharing this wonderful hope we have. And this is what we all try to do despite difficulties, you know, despite these new circumstances. We have the habit to go from door to door to do Bible studies and this, but now we have to do that from our home. But no problem. We have an expression here in France: "If you close the door, I will come through the window." No problem. Nothing can stop us to do Jehovah's will, and we want to keep going. And we wait for the day that we will have not longer have to face the future with faith and courage. Why that? Because we will be there. We will be in the new system of things. We will be. We will have the privilege to be in the paradise and to live forever and to see Jehovah's blessing forever.